Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of the Red Seat Podcast. This is episode 85, and today I am joined by Matt Collins of Over the Monster. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. We finally got back after a couple days of weirdness.
Yeah, it's been weird. We are having some technical difficulties, so thank you guys for bearing with us. Recording service is just not working right now, so we're trying to figure that out. But we have found other ways to record, so big thanks to Adam, who's recording this for us today. But we have a lot of Red Sox things to get to, and we have very limited time, so we're going to cruise. I want to start off with talking about that Mookie home run from last night. In my opinion, probably the coolest moment of the season. Best at bat I've seen pretty much all season. And it was a 10-game streak that it kept alive, so pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I was trying to think of anything else that might have topped that. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, that whole at-bat, it was only the fourth inning, but it was really tense. I was making some weird noises just as everything was going on, and then Smoke dropped that pop-up. Once that happened, you kind of knew something special was going to happen. I kind of thought he was just going to walk in a run, but obviously what Mookie did was a lot better than that. And I don't know, you don't really see him show emotion like that very often. That was something special, you could tell.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is just that emotion. It was just so visceral from him. It was just like, you know, the most we've really seen from him. And we haven't seen Mookie really do much in the playoffs yet. So I think that this was sort of like one of the bigger moments that we've seen for his young career. It was awesome.
He almost turned his ankle doing it, but yeah. And Eckersley's call, the time to party, that was unbelievable. That was perfect.
Yeah, that was good. Right before he said that, I think it was just yay.
Yeah. I didn't know what to say. He crushed that too. It wasn't even in the strike zone. I don't know how he did that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. The angle of the bat, if you go back and look at like a still frame.
Oh, I've watched that video like 12 times today.
It's ridiculous. I mean, how many people in baseball could put that swing on that pitch?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, they were saying it during the broadcast, but he couldn't square up anything up in the zone, and then they throw him that one, and clearly they should have stayed up in the zone.
Yeah, you can't beat talent when it's coupled with determination like that. It's pretty special. So the team does have their longest winning streak of the season right now at 10 games. Still 3.5 up on the damn Yankees, because they don't lose very much either. So that's awesome. But what's not so awesome is Devers has just hit the DL. Devers is dealing with some shoulder soreness. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal. I think if you remember, I think it was the Royals series when he slid into home awkwardly, and he kind of got up holding his shoulder. I think that's probably when the injury got worse.
They said it. Yeah. Well, they said it's been bothering him since they were in Seattle.
Oh wow.
And that was a while ago. Yeah. So it's probably just been some wear and tear, and finally they just gave up on it. So hopefully it doesn't keep him up too long.
Yeah, it's nice to see that the MRI came back clean, at least on that, so it shouldn't be much more than just the All-Star break.
Yeah, this is the time to do something like this, because you have the break coming up, so he might miss a couple games on both ends, but that's about it.
Yeah, also the team's in God mode right now, really don't need anybody.
That certainly helps.
Yeah, so Eduardo Nunez is going to slide over, play third, which is a better position for him anyhow, so that's going to be good, and then Holt's going to man second for the time being. Not a bad alignment right now. Su-Wei Lin is also up, so he can fill in at different defensive positions. But, I mean, by and large, if the top five hitters in the lineup are doing what they're doing, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Bradley's turning it on. Sandy Leon is playing really well. So I don't expect them to have like a lot of games where the bottom of the lineup's all clicking at once, but you really just need one of the two of those guys along with like the big bats up top, and the lineup is much more than fine.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been really an amazing change from last season to this season, seeing that offense click the way it has. Speaking of that, though, the Red Sox are well represented in the All-Star game. It's going to be on the 17th. Luckily, they have no one in the Home Run Derby on the 16th. But
luckily,
they're going to be. I don't want to see that.
I love the Home Run Derby.
Do you? I don't want to see anybody's swing get screwed up or get tired.
You buy into that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I think Bannister maybe, or no, it was Tim Hyers had a couple interesting comments on that, because he was the hitting coach of the Dodgers last year and Bellinger did it. And he said what he noticed was that Bellinger just, during the time that he should have been resting or could have been resting, you know, he was out there taking a bunch of swings, and they have to do warm-up swings. And it's pretty taxing. It seems like a taxing event. So, I don't know. With the season these guys are having, I'm happy to not deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it either way. It doesn't really matter. But I would have been upset if JD or Mookie was in it.
I'm psyched about Harper, though.
I haven't even seen. Cool. I know Aguilar's in it, and I know Harper's in it. Muncy's in it, right?
That's Muncy's in it. A couple, like, of Cubs. Schwarber and Baez are in it. So that Schwarber's should be cool. It? Yeah.
See, an all-star?
I don't
know. Do you have to be an all-star, or am I making that up?
No, you don't have to be an all-star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't believe so anyway.
Okay. No, they probably didn't. Sure. I thought for some reason I thought you had to be. But.
So the Sox are sending five guys. Like I mentioned, Mookie Betts and JD are going to be starters. Chris Sale has a pretty good shot, I would think, to start that game as well. Mitch Moreland makes it for the first time in his career at 32, a little bit of one of the weirder selections we've seen in a while. And then Craig Kimbrell makes it as well. So overall, really positive for the team and good representation. I'm a little surprised Benny didn't make it on the final vote, but Segura definitely deserves it as well.
See, I had Segura third. I mean, they're all obviously really good. They wouldn't be in the vote if they weren't, but I actually thought Simmons was probably objectively the most deserving, and then I would have had Benny second.
Yeah, Simmons tied Benny in Fangraphs war at this point in the season, and his defense has been incredible.
Well, I mean, Simmons, I think, I've said this before, I think he's the most underrated player in baseball. And he's hit, what, 2-3 years in a row? Yeah. I mean, when he's hitting like that, he's an MVP. Like, he's a legitimate MVP candidate. So I was a little surprised. But, I mean, it's all about just, like, getting the fan base out to vote. And Mariners fans, I follow a weird amount of Mariners fans on Twitter, and they're really into it this year, so they're all hyped up. So I wasn't super surprised that he won, but Benintendi should have been in over George Springer anyways, so it shouldn't have come to that.
Yeah, Benny has better numbers than every single person who was on that final vote, and I think he's actually over 900 OPS right now for the year. I mean, the way that he's been playing,
he had a pretty rough night last night, but.
Yeah, he looks awesome. So he's actually just hit the bereavement list. He'll be out for a little bit of time, and Sam Travis is up filling in. So, but I would just expect that they're probably going to play JD in the field tonight.
Yeah, the lineup just came out.
Oh, okay.
Well, Pierce is hurt.
Oh.
So
what happened to Pierce?
He got hit in the ankle or shin last night.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, he got taken out of the game. Swihart ended up playing first for most of that game.
Man, this team's depleted right now. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's anything serious. I'm probably just giving him a day off. But Sam Travis is DHing tonight.
Okay.
Which is something.
Is it a lefty?
It is.
Okay.
It's Ryan Barucki, I'm assuming. Is that his name? Barucki? Barucki?
So there's at least some hope.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we won't get anybody's hopes up there. Did you think there was any Red Sox snubs though?
Well, Benintendi.
Just Benny? What about Bogarts? Because people thought Bogarts. Yeah. I don't really think he had a good case.
No, I mean, I mentioned him because he's having like an all-star caliber season. It's just shortstop is loaded in the American League. So I don't really think that's a snub so much as he's playing well enough to be like at an all-star level. It's just tough draw.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. No one can complain about what Bogarts is doing this season. His defense is arguably the best it's ever been, and he's performing about the best he's ever performed with the bat too, so actually, he's on pace for his best season.
I'm glad he said something. I was gonna mention this. I don't actually think he's a snub, but Matt Barnes is closer to being an all-star than people think.
Yeah,
he has been unreal this year, and I mean, there's a lot of good relievers, obviously. I don't think he should have made the team, but he's on the cusp. I mean, by DRA, he's an all-star. I mean, I don't know how much you buy into that, but he's got a 51 DRA minus. That's bananas.
Yeah, he's filthy. I mean, when he's got everything working, that fastball, he's locating it up and down in the zone. He's great at changing eye level on that pitch. And then the
I don't
hammer
know.
curve.
Did you see his outing last night?
I didn't.
That
I
was
missed it.
About as he so he was getting hit really hard in the beginning with his fastball, and he did give up a run. But after he kind of realized that, he the last two batters he threw all curveballs and struck them both out, like making them look silly. So I mean, if he can do that as a one pitch guy, that's clearly an evolution for him.
Yeah, I mean, just having the confidence to be able to command your curveball like that is
oh, his curveball
pretty
is
impressive.
Sick.
Yeah. To be able to look at that for locate that for a strike whenever you want, though, is just ridiculously
oh,
dangerous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice. I want to take stock of the Red Sox record right now, and it's funny we do this today because Alex Speer also just wrote about this, and people have been making a lot of it because the Red Sox just keep winning. But they're on pace for the to surpass 100 wins for the first time since 1946.
Oh, a lot more than surpass 100 wins. 113 is their pace right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And in fact, where that would put them in terms of Red Sox teams all time, the 46 Sox won 104 games, 1915, 101, and the 1912 team, 105 wins. So they're on pace to shatter the Red Sox single season win record. And in fact, that 105 and 47 season, they're actually now on pace to break the winning percentage record as well because they played fewer games back then. And if they did continue on this pace, be the fourth best record of all time. So that would be pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about it. Somebody would find a way to complain about it, but yeah, I mean it's I don't think they're going to keep up this pace, but it's been unbelievable.
Yeah, it really has. You know, I would expect that even if they do tail off a little bit in the second half, I'm not sure that they will because the schedule seems pretty favorable to them in the second half as well. But even if they do, 100 wins is seeming like it's probably going to happen, right?
Yeah. Let me do some quick math right here. I'm trying to figure out what their record would be if they went 500 the rest of the way. Which is impossible because they have an odd number of games, but
right.
Yeah, if they go one game over 500 the rest of the way, they will have 100 wins.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely gonna break that. It's gonna
they
be
should.
Good.
I don't know about definitely. I lived through 2011, so yeah. I'll never say definitely. But
I'll knock on wood right now just in case. Manny Machado trade rumors have popped up again. These are pretty nonsensical. I think you feel the same way, Matt. I just want to know from you, why is this even popping up? It seems ridiculous. And where do you think Manny ends up?
So why is popping up? My guess and scenario really makes sense to me, but I guess like the Orioles might have leaked something like this to like make the Yankees scared. But Brian Cashman's not an idiot. He knows that the Red Sox can't get Machado, so I don't really understand where it came from or who leaked it, but it doesn't really make sense either way. The Red Sox aren't going to get Machado. I do think the Yankees are going to get him. It seems like every day that those rumors just get stronger and stronger, so I'm pretty much resigned to the fact that they will end up with him.
Yeah, I kind of think the Yankees are going to get him too. I do think, though, if he goes to either the Yankees or the Dodgers, that there's an outside chance that he signs with either of those two teams.
Yeah, I would agree. Although, I don't know. I don't think he's going to sign with anybody before free agency.
Yeah.
I think at this point, he's going to test the market. The only thing that throws off the Yankees rumors is that he's still like adamant about playing shortstop.
And that's not going to happen.
Anymore. Yeah, he's not playing shortstop over Didi Gregorius. So,
and he'd be a major upgrade in the field over Andujar as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I don't know how serious he really is about that, but I mean, if he really only wants to play shortstop, then the Yankees don't really make sense. But I guess the Dodgers do, though, right? I don't know who's playing shortstop for them. They have, like, everybody on the Dodgers can play, like, every position, so.
Well, yeah, that's just the thing, is that the Dodgers actually have sort of a logjam, because Seager's out right now, yeah, so he's not factoring in. So Manny can come in and play shortstop for the Dodgers, which makes that make a lot of sense right now. The issue is that Turner is their third baseman, and I believe he's got a year or two left on his deal. Maybe what they could do is move him over to first base and have Manny play third if they were to sign the player, and have Bellinger in the outfield.
Yeah.
So that would probably make the most sense.
Well, I think that's what they would do this year anyways. I remember seeing that they would put Taylor at second and Muncy at first and Bellinger in center field or something like that. I don't know. The Dodgers are, like, bizarre.
I don't know how that guy plays center field.
Yeah, it's really weird.
He's athletic, but...
I don't know.
Yeah. I want to move on to some injury news here. Danny Diaz, Red Sox prospect, who's... what is Diaz now? 17 years old or something like that?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah. He broke his hamate bone, so he's going to be out until fall instructs at least. He was one of the only people hitting for power in the Red Sox system. Pretty impressive young guy.
Yeah, it's definitely a bummer, but at the same time, he had kind of proven himself in the DSL, and so I don't think that he was going to move too far up the ladder. I mean, he might have been able to come stateside at the end of the year and make mm-hmm. that debut, but I don't really think this holds him back too much in terms of development. It just makes the DSL a little more boring to follow on a daily basis.
Yeah, if it wasn't already boring enough, DSL is now more boring. Other injuries, Brian Johnson is out with a hip injury right now. He's on the 10-day DL. And Christian Vasquez hit the DL with a broken finger, which he had surgery on since the last time we were on the podcast. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And Blake Swihart has already gotten one start at catcher. And I actually thought he looked pretty good. And he hit a little bit that game as well.
Yeah, he was fine. I didn't really notice him, which is a good thing. I guess if you don't really get noticed as a catcher, you're like a referee in basketball or something. If people don't notice you, that means you're doing a good job. So I'm still not totally convinced that him and Leon is like a combo I want essentially for the rest of the year, but it's not unfathomable that it can work.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes this whole hanging on to that roster spot thing tenable. I'm still in the camp of people that don't think they were really doing this for this scenario. I think they were hanging on to him because they were looking to trade him and nothing more. But, you know, they lucked into this, and yeah, it's fine. You know, maybe he'll get some time and up his value a little bit. I did think it was kind of funny. I don't know if you noticed this, but when Barnes was pitching to him, there was a foul tip that ended up in the glove, and he had to throw down to first, and Barnes pointed to first like – Swihart didn't know that he had to throw down a first, and I was wondering whether or not like he actually just forgot because he gets so few reps there.
I didn't notice that, so I don't know. I can't really say, but yeah, like I said, I don't know if they need to make a trade for somebody, but I really don't know how I feel about the catching group, because Vasquez is basically out until September at least.
Right.
So this is basically the rest of the year. Once he comes back, I mean, he can carry three catches anyways with the expanded rosters.
I'm good with Leon and Swihart. I mean, I think Leon's going to draw most of the starts. He hasn't played.
Well, that's what I'm kind of worried about. He's never done that.
Right.
And so that's a big workload for a catcher.
Yeah, maybe they'll start giving Swihart more work to preserve him. I don't know. They got to do something. I think you're right. That is a valid concern, and catching is just so taxing.
Yeah.
And I was watching. I mean, Leon's not a small guy either.
No, he's a stocky dude.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I agree with you. I like Leon in a vacuum.
Yeah.
I've always kind of liked him more than a lot of other people, but I feel a lot better if he's the backup than the starter.
Yeah. Christian Vasquez. Hector Velasquez is looking like he's going to be the one drawing starts with Brian Johnson down and Stephen Wright and Pomerantz still injured. Do you think that he's going to continue to get those?
I think the plan is for Brian Johnson to come back on Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's going to come back from that injury that soon.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't anything major. Because Velasquez, I mean, he was good during that start, but he's not stretched out at all. Even no. Even less than Johnson was, because he pitched three innings that day. So, yeah, Johnson is. I don't think they've made it official, but the plan is for him to start on Sunday.
No, that's a relief because he's actually looked pretty good in his starts.
Yeah, yeah, he's been solid. Pomerantz is making another rehab start this weekend, so we'll see how that goes.
It's a roll of the dice with him right now.
I have no faith. I want to so bad because I like Pomerantz, but he's had nothing, and the rehab outings haven't been great.
One player I have really liked watching, though, since he's been up is Ryan Brazier. What have your thoughts been on him? I'm kind of intrigued with the spicy velocity that he brings. He looks like he knows how to pitch a little bit.
Yeah, he's a cool story. He had Tommy John in 2013. I think I saw somebody on Twitter say that this is the longest gap between having Tommy John and making it back to the majors. That might be wrong. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that, but I think I read that one time, so we'll go with it. But he's fine. I mean, I definitely don't think he's going to be like a high leverage arm or anything, but as another guy to add to the just revolving doors at the end of the bullpen, it's fine. The fastball is fast. It's kind of straight. I don't know. Like I said, he's fun. I like guys who can throw 100, but I still kind of want to see Ty Buttrey at some point.
Ty just continues to rack up the numbers.
Yeah, he's looked. I mean, I can't say he's looked really good. I haven't seen him, but I saw him in Portland, and it seems like the command is a lot better these days than it was when I saw him. So the stuff has always been there. If he's commanding the strike zone, he's a good arm. He's going to be a part of this bullpen for a while.
The guy's a moose too.
No, he's a big boy.
Yeah. He's just one of those intimidating presences on the mound.
Yeah, they have some next year. They have some interesting guys between Buttrey, Lakins, and Feltman. Those guys are all right there. I don't think, like I've said this before, I don't think Feltman's coming up this year, but he's moving. He's already in Greenville, and he looked good in his first Greenville outing.
I think Lakins probably has 2 weeks left on this roster before he's part of a trade package.
Well, I'm going on Thursday, and I haven't gotten to see him out of the bullpen yet. I like Lakins.
I do too.
I always liked him as a starter, although they clearly made the right move here. But I haven't seen him out of the bullpen. I'd like to see him before he gets traded, but I don't know how much value he has either. I don't know how much value anybody has.
Cost-controlled relievers that, you know, you can plug and play.
Yeah, he has.
Hembree though. He's delivered so much value for this team, and he was.
Oh, for sure. But he had already made his major league debut at that point. Lakers has been doing this for like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't doubt that he could be traded or anything. I don't think he's Hembree.
No.
Yeah, Hembree had already made his major league debut before he got traded.
Hembree also wasn't that good when he came to the Red Sox. Like, he's gotten better over time.
Oh, he's definitely gotten better every year. I feel like he was... this is probably a couple of years before he got traded, but there was a time where they had, a future closer tag on him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I think that was a couple of years before he got traded. That was, like, when he first got drafted.
His stock was pretty low when he came to the Red Sox at that
what
time.
What deal was that?
It was that fifth outfielder that the Red Sox had.
That was the Peavy deal.
It was the Peavy deal?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's what Baseball Reference says.
Oh, I thought it was the one for the outfielder that we sent to the Giants. I can't remember what his name was.
I don't know. But yeah, this is Peavy. They got Edwin Escobar is a name I haven't heard in a while.
Interesting. Other news, Robbie Scott, lefty. In the bullpen, Jalen Beeks was sent down after another sort of mediocre-looking outing up with the team. What do you make of Beeks not being able to put it together with the team in his first couple appearances?
I'm not super worried. I still like Beeks. I think he's a number five starter on some team. Maybe not a contender, but I think he's going to start for somebody at some point in the next couple of years and be like a mainstay in their rotation. I've always been among the higher ones on Beeks, though, so I'm probably not the best person to ask.
Yeah, I like Beeks too. I don't think this changes my outlook on him. What does change my outlook, though, is the comments that we've heard this week from Dustin Pedroia. Dustin has mentioned that time is running out on his season, and it seems like he is not going to play, which was a big surprise to me. I know that you and Brian were kind of expecting this, but it now seems like the Red Sox really should think about making a trade for a second baseman. Could relegate Holt to the bench again, give them some added bench depth, which they certainly could use. And there are a lot of options out there on, you know, just a few months left on their deal. What do you think the team should do at this point?
You wrote about Asdrubal Cabrera today. He's probably my favorite of the more realistic targets. I don't know. I keep going back to the Rockies, though. DJ LeMahieu and Ottavino is still, like, my dream. But I think at this point they're too close to the playoff chase that I don't think they're going to sell. I guess Asdrubal Cabrera would probably be the guy I'd be targeting.
Like I said in my article today, he does definitely add length to that lineup and some pop. The thing with Holt is that just the dude never hits for power. So as much as we like his slash line this year, it's a very empty slash line. And I think come the playoff time, it never hurts to have another guy lower in the lineup that can do some damage. So I could see that being pretty valuable, and the price tag shouldn't be much at all.
No, I kind of think if they did that, there would be a reliever in there, probably Familia.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they do get a second baseman just in general, it would probably be paired with a reliever, just because they don't really have the kind of farm system where they can go to multiple teams and try and get a bunch of deals done.
Right.
So they'll probably try and condense it a little bit.
Man, that wouldn't be a bad combo at all.
No, I'd be okay with that. Or even like Svorzak. I don't know what Svorzak's contract is, but I like him as a pitcher at least.
Yeah,
actually, definitely. I have no idea if he's pitching this year. I liked him in the offseason.
No, he's been good. He was good with the White Sox as well. I mean, he's had some good years, so I think...
No, he's been awful this year. Good luck.
Has he?
He's good. Oh, he's only pitched 15 games, but yeah, he's got a 6.46 ERA. It's not great.
He was injured for a while, though, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm assuming he's only pitched 15 games, so...
Okay. Well, Familia would be good anyway.
Yeah, Familia. I still want Ottavino. It's not going to happen.
Ottavino's numbers this year have been crazy. I was looking at his numbers and digging in a little bit to what he's been throwing in terms of a pitch mix. He's pretty much ditched his four-seam this year, and he's throwing almost all sinkers when he throws a fastball and throwing that slider a lot still. I mean, everything he's doing is just different than what he's done in the past, and the results really back it up.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Him and Kimbrel back-to-back would be unfair, those two breaking balls. The Red Sox did reach out about him.
Did they?
Him and Wade Davis.
Wow.
I'm assuming they didn't get much headway on that. But yeah, Jerry Krasnick wrote a report the other day basically saying they've talked to everybody about high-end relievers.
Wade has so much money left on that deal,
though. Yeah, I would be surprised at that. But it's intriguing. It's definitely intriguing that they're asking about somebody like that, though. Like, yeah. They're not going for a middle-of-the-road guy. They want somebody between Barnes and Kimbrel.
Well, when you're on pace for 113 wins, there's no better time to go for a guy like that.
Oh, for sure. And plus, I mean, I think I want Kimbrel to stay after next year, but I think they're already kind of looking past that and trying to figure out if they can get somebody in right now to replace him.
I get the sense that Cora doesn't love Kimbrel as much as we love Kimbrel. Or I should say not we, because I don't know. I think that he likes flexible relievers. And I don't get the sense that Kimbrel is that flexible.
Well, he wants to pitch the ninth, but I mean, he'll come in the eighth. He's already done that. He did that last night.
He gave me a heart attack, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Yank those first few pitches. That's the thing. He does not pitch like the same dude when men are on base.
I don't know. I mean, I think Kimbrel's unbelievable. They're not going to find anybody better than him. I'll say that.
Let me just say this, though. As a fan, you know, watching these games as much as I do, I don't feel as good with Kimbrel, with men on base, as I did with Koji or as I did with Papelbon when he was in his prime.
I would disagree. I feel as good with Kimbrel as I have with anybody ever.
Wow. Yeah, I don't. He loses that release point too easy for me.
I guess I've never been so confident that somebody's going to get a strikeout as I am with Kimbrel.
Yeah, that's fair. That split, though. Remember that split?
Koji?
Yeah.
Hey, man, look, I love the Koji experience, but Kimbrel's going to the Hall of Fame.
High
And he's
fives for
still pitching.
everybody.
Kimbrel's still pitching at the Hall of Fame level.
Yeah, he is. So you can't argue with it. It's just a feeling thing for me. In terms of listener questions, we got a bunch, so we should get to those because we've only got about 15 minutes left in the pod. First question comes from Vinny. He asks if we are peaking too early, meaning the Red Sox. Matt, what do you think about this?
I'm pretty sure that was a joke, but no.
Yeah.
That Twitter handle looks familiar. I'm pretty sure that was tongue in cheek.
Yeah. I don't think the team's peaking too early in the off chance that it was. Serious. Next question comes from Dave Roper. He says, 3.5 game lead notwithstanding, can we prevail over the New York Yankees in a postseason series? Can we? Yes. Will it be difficult? Yes.
Yeah, obviously they
Yeah.
can. What? Yeah.
They can do anything. Eamon Allen Dussault asks us, honestly, if we're making a stupid trade with Baltimore, I don't want Machado, I want Jones. What does a Jones trade look like? Matt, you want to take this?
That's a good question. I don't know. So we get close to the trade deadline, we're gonna learn that I don't do fake trade packages because I hate it. So I have no idea, but I like Adam Jones. I kind of feel like he might cost a little more than we expect, just because I still get the sense the Orioles don't really want to trade him. He's the face of their franchise. As much as Machado is better, Jones has been there forever, and everybody loves him. So I don't think he's going to get traded at all, but I would love to have him on the Red Sox.
Yeah, when I wrote about outfield trade targets, this was the guy who I kind of ended up with at the top of the heap. I think Jones would definitely make the team better. I think his leadership's awesome, and I think it'd be cool for him to get on a winning club. I just don't know if the team really wants to pay for him when they can just play Bradley.
Yeah,
Because
they're
as
not going to
much
trade for
as,
an outfielder.
yeah, that's the thing. It's just. Bradley, as much as we don't like his cold streaks, the defense is just so good, and I think he's going to win the Gold Glove this year for the first time of his career, but
Do you?
I don't know. But yeah, I'm sold on it, actually. I think I'm going to write about it this week.
I think he might too, actually. I don't know if he's going to deserve it, but.
I was looking at the AL candidates for the Gold Glove, and there's just not a lot of his normal competition. Having the type of year that he is. So I think that if it's going to happen, it could happen. And this is arguably not his best defensive season that he's ever had, but just with a few people having down seasons or being injured, I think that it
It's
could
just him
finally
and
come.
Pilar, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but then there's a couple up and comers. There's the guy from Chicago, Engel, Adam Engel, I think is his
No,
name.
I don't know enough about
Who's
him.
having a good defensive season, and then one other guy who I was looking at. I did some research
Well,
on
I
it
feel like to get
before.
the Gold Glove, you kind of need to build the reputation first.
Well, that's the thing, and he's the only one with a reputation.
Well,
He's having a
Pilar,
much
too.
better year than Pilar.
Okay, I don't know. I think
Yeah, I
Pilar's
mean,
pretty unbelievable, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he won.
no. Next trade, or next question, I should say, not trade. Would you be willing to, what would you be willing to give up for Brad Hand? This is from Mike Marr.
I mean, a lot, not a ton, but I wouldn't give up both Groom and Chavis, I guess, even though that might be what it takes. I don't know. I've always been a little bit lower on Hand than a lot of other people. And I mean, he's pitched in Miami and San Diego, which are two pretty good pitcher's parks. I mean, I know the stuff is good. I'm not saying he's not good or anything. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't want to trade my top two prospects for him. I'll say that.
I would give them a Chinese food menu of the Red Sox prospects and just ask them to pick whatever numbers they want. Yeah, no, I mean, take Groom and Chavis. Sure. I mean, what are you really giving up in that? Maybe Groom turns into a three down the road if he maintains his health, and maybe Chavis finds a spot and
I still like
doesn't
Chavis. I
hit
believe
sub
in
220.
Chavis. I think he's going to hit better than that.
That hit tool, though, man, it's scary.
I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as you do.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Definitely looks like an Orioles guy to me. Mike Marr also asks us, when do you think Ziegler returns to the Boston bullpen? He's actually turned it on lately.
Yeah, he's been better lately. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think they're aiming higher than that.
Yeah, I would agree. Next question. Montana Jessel says, any chance this audition period for Swihart leads to a trade soon? I'm going to tackle this one. I don't think so because the team really doesn't have any depth. They kind of need him at this point.
Yeah, only if they're getting another catcher.
Yep. Next question comes from Hendrick, and he says, how do you feel about the Sox and Mookie being able to come to terms for an extension? Any chance? Matt, what do you think?
Not anytime soon. He has shown no interest in it.
Yeah, and we have a follow-up to that. Gordon Comstock asks, what would be the upper limits of what you'd go to? He says he'd go 8 years, 300 million, and he'd also be happy going 10, 400. What would you do if you were the Sox? Is that too much, I guess? 8
What
and
did Trout
300 or
get?
10 and 400?
What did Trout get? Trout got
Trout
6. What?
was cheap. He went
Yeah.
like 180, 150 or something like
Jeez.
that.
Yeah, he went 6, 145.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely do more than that.
Yeah, I think 300 is probably going to be his market with what Machado
Well,
and Harper get.
that's when he hits free agency.
Right.
I mean, right now, I wouldn't offer 300.
No. But
200?
250?
I'd offer two. Listen, I'd offer 500.
As long as he stays.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, they probably won't go higher than 200 right now.
Yeah, as long as he stays a member of the team, I think
Yeah,
he'll
I
be
don't think
happy.
we're going to see be seeing an extension. If anything, it would just be buying out his RVs, probably.
I really hope the Red Sox re-sign him.
They have to. They don't have a
Yeah.
choice. I mean, if we're being
There's
honest, there's no way that they can't.
Yeah, that would be catastrophic. Tim Kaprinski asks our last question. He says, do you think that either the Red Sox or the Yankees make a larger splash in order to avoid being in the wild card game? Obviously, neither has much to add to make the playoffs, but to avoid the randomness of a one-game playoff, does that change the dynamic for them? I'm going to say the Yankees end up making a bolder move just because they're more stocked and they have more room under the cap. I feel like something's coming.
Yeah, I agree. To answer the second question, does that change the dynamic? Absolutely. I mean, there's such a huge difference between the winning the wild or being a wild card team and winning a division that, I mean, that's what they're making trades for. The playoffs too, of course, but I mean, it's more to make the divisional round. So the Red Sox are in good shape though. 3.5 games is fairly significant because these teams are pretty evenly matched and. I mean, it's definitely not impossible or anything close to it, but I don't know that I would believe. Even if you believe the Yankees are better, they have to be 4 games better, and I don't
Right.
know if anybody can say that.
Yeah, neither of these teams lose very much. So, unless that changes drastically, 3.5 games looks pretty good at this point. All right, that about does it for the podcast this week. If you enjoyed the show, please go on and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can rate and review us on there as well. We always appreciate the feedback. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow Matt on Twitter at @MattRYCollins. You can follow me on Twitter at @DevJake. And you can follow the site on Twitter at Matty. I almost gave Matt's handle there. Over the Monster. Wow. I really do
I think you
love
were going to
this
give Matt
Twitter handle.
Corey's hand.
I was. I was
Yeah.
going to give @MattyMatty2000, which is one of my favorite handles of all time. But yeah, also give Matt a follow. He writes for The Athletic now. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll be with you next week, hopefully, without technical difficulties.